Well, good morning. This is Jump in Tucson. My name's Tom Moulton, and I am the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we're going to talk about festivals and events. I have to tell you, we're very, very happy to see all these festivals, and we're going to learn a little bit about why we were chosen by a international organization with a special recognition, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But we're a year-round festival location, and we have a very special organization called the Festival Association of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Some people call it FEATS, A-Z, and we have the vice president, LaDawn Shockley-Cox, here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Could say good morning again because Matt just turned the microphone on.
Oh, good morning. Hi. Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right. So glad to have you. And good morning, Matt, back there. And good morning, Kim. You all remember Kim from our famous SAAA intern who's producing a wonderful documentary on Make-A-Wish that was filmed at Old Tucson. And on the phone, we have Mia Shockley.
Schneibley.
Schneibley. Okay, yeah. Sorry, Mia. I've been practicing, but I didn't look at the right paper. So Schneibley. Okay, I got that right. Sort of. It's almost there. Okay.
Yeah.
LaDawn's looking at me in disgust. Mia, thank you, and good morning, and welcome. And if I just say Mia, you know exactly who we're talking about. Mia is a board member of FEATS AZ, and she's also an employee of the University of Arizona. So we're going to learn a little bit about Mia in just a moment, but let's start with you, LaDawn. I mean, it's really glad to have you. You and I have worked together for a number of years producing kind of internal events between the Southern Arizona and the Attractions Alliance. And with FEATS AZ. So the two organizations are what we call simply kind of partnership organizations, and we work together on many, many things. We just recently had a mixer at PM Air and Space where we heard a lot about Davis Monthan and how the festivals and the attractions can let the folks that are on base and off base that are associated with Davis Monthan about all of the festivals and events and attractions that are here in Tucson. So, LaDawn, let's get started with you and just share a little bit about who LaDawn is.
Well, I am actually by trade a certified gift designer. I own my own company, Copper Sky Gifting Studio, under the brand Ribbons and Bows Gifts. So that's kind of been out there for a while. But my job is relationship marketing. So I provide gifting as an extension of relationship marketing to not only corporate entities, but also other organizations who are working with events and sponsorships and all those kinds of things.
Now, how did that segue into being a leader at FEATS AZ?
That's a long story and a big can of worms, but we'll keep it short and sweet.
1 minute.
basically, this was a different organization that I found that I wanted to get involved in. It had new faces, and that's what I wanted at the time. That was back in, I'd say 2019-ish. So I did get involved. I became a member, and lo and behold, I was right. Completely new faces, people I've never met before. And that was a great thing. And me being me, I wanted to get to know people because I am not one for small talk at all. So I met with the current, I think she was the secretary at the time, had a meeting on December 31st, 2019. Over coffee, and she said, you know what, I think the best place for you is to get involved in membership. And it just kind of blossomed from there.
And you're also the membership chair as well this year.
I am. I have been the membership chair for almost 3 years now, 2-3 years.
So as vice president, does that mean you're next in line for president?
Well, I would say yes, but we're going to say no.
And let's leave it at that,
yeah.
Okay? Because, you know, the boss, TJ, may be listening now, so, you know.
Well, you know, he just returned from vacation, so I was taking over fielding questions and things like that while he was away.
Well, and we thank you for being there and being engaged and helping put this show together as well, because, you know, as an old festival and event person for Six Flags, I was kind of the kids' festival guy and got to know He-Man from Mattel and Transformers from Hasbro and Captain America from all those guys, Spider-Man, you know, visited Six Flags. And sometimes we got to write shows with them, with our characters, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Yosemite Sam and my can you imagine a show with He-Man and Yogi Bear, you know, and or Bugs Bunny? And that was a lot of fun in another part of my career. But let's talk a little bit about the history. And Mia, that's going to be your job, because we're really in, it's really interesting on how the Festival and Events Association got together back in, was it 2017 or
11.
Before that? 2011. Mia, take it away.
Yeah, this organization started way back in 2011, and it's grown so much over the years, and it's really changed, and it's even better than when it started. It's hard to believe. In 2011, we did a lot of mixers. We were just trying to bring people together and kind of like help each other out. It's like, if you need barricades, we got a guy. If you needed a photographer. And now, through the years, it's evolved where we have industry education. We hosted international conferences. And it's really, really a great way for, if you have an event or any kind of venue, it's a great way to grow not only your event, but also your networking circle. So it's really changed over the last 13, 14 years.
Yeah, and there seems to be a considerable amount of educational opportunities if you are a member of FEATS. LaDawn, can you address that a little bit?
I can. Basically, part of what we offer to our members is we offer program mixers. We do have social mixers, and that's fine, but a lot of our program mixers are based around different topics. So taking the one that the SAAA and FEATS did just recently, we were talking about working with DM for events and how to get connected with the people that, you know, are the decision makers, and that can tell you what you need to do, what you need to bring, what you can and cannot do. So it's those kinds of things and some advocacy into that that makes it so important for our members.
So we're going to get into a lot more detail on that wonderful benefit of being a member. And because we're a partnership organization, we encourage people to join both organizations, as well as our sponsor, which is Visit Tucson. So Visit Tucson has been very nice to be part of this show every Thursday at 9 o'clock, of course. We're part of a 5-day group of community leaders that get to join us and other hosts throughout the week, and FEATS Arizona is certainly one of those. We'll be back in just a few moments, and we're going to talk a lot more with Mia and LaDawn from FEATS Arizona. Well, welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Again, as I mentioned before the break, every weekday we have a new community leader that's not afraid to get their fingers and their toes all dirtied up for the community. And we have a great guest list today, including LaDawn. LaDawn is the Vice President of the Festival and Event Association of Tucson in Southern Arizona. For timing's sake, they have shortened that name, and we call it FEATS Arizona. So when you hear FEATS Arizona, that also means that that's part of the Association of Tucson in Southern Arizona. We also have Mia. And Mia, I'm not going to pronounce your last name again because I'll probably mess it up.
No worries, Tom. Life is good.
So we didn't get a chance to talk just briefly just about yourself before we get into more. We're going to talk about the mission, and we had a lot to talk about in this segment. But let's start with, who is Mia?
My name is Mia Schneibel. I am the Director of Marketing and Development for the Arizona International Film Festival. It is the oldest and longest running film festival in the state of Arizona, and we have been awarded the top 100 best reviewed film festival for 8 years in a row. And that is top 100 out of over 14,000 film festivals worldwide. And our 33rd festival is coming up towards the end of April 2025. And I also work at U of A, and I love being a board member of FEATS. It's a super great organization, and I've made a lot of great friends and a lot of great connections there.
Well, you bring a lot of festival knowledge, I think, to the board as well, especially film festivals seem to be doing really well here in Tucson, and there's more than just one, isn't there?
Yeah, Tucson is very blessed. We have 8 major film festivals, and we each have a different genre, and so it's really great. It's really important that everybody gets out there and supports independent film, because independent film opens your eyes to things in the world that you don't know that's going to happen, that is happening.
Now, I also understand that you're helping out FEATS in social media.
Yeah, I'm the social media manager for FEATS, and we have a great website, TucsonFestival.org. We are on Facebook. It's a great place to find out about different events happening around the city. We are on LinkedIn, and we're also on Instagram. So it's a great way, if you are thinking there's nothing to do in Tucson, you couldn't be more wrong. There's too much to do in Tucson. Every day there's at least 6 to 10 major things you can do. And we like to help promote that on our social media.
Yes, I think, Dawn, when you talk about your mission, where is all of this, marketing and education, and how does that work with all being a member of the organization?
Well, the main mission is to help with the growth and viability and the vibrancy of festivals and events in Tucson and Southern Arizona. We want to make them the best possible that they can absolutely be, and that's where we support those event producers and those other organizations so that they have the knowledge to do things that not only will make their events better, but to do it in a way that they don't get in legal trouble either. So we want to make sure that they have the tools to do the best that they can.
And you got a great partnership behind you between Visit Tucson, as I mentioned, and sponsor of this show, with their wonderful event calendar. There is really no master event calendar here in town. I know there's a couple of entities that have tried it over the years, but between your social media, between Visit Tucson social media and website, between the Attractions Alliance and their dashboard, which we affectionately call it Visit Widget, there's so many different sources, Tucson Media Partners at Tucson.com. So you almost, when you're running an event, there's marketing is a very important component, but how to run a festival and what are the ins and outs? And that's exactly what I have learned over the years. But coming to your meetings, I've learned a lot more. I've learned about who the vendors are here in town that can help you, whether it be for the portable toilets or whether it be the tents or whatever. You got wonderful sound systems. You got wonderful networking opportunities within the festival organization. And you also have just folks that know what they're doing from A to Z. And everyone is willing to share their knowledge. And your organization brings it together once a month.
Yes. And we try to make sure that our members are feeling the love, not only through our mixers, but that's one of our benefits is that when we have kind of a set schedule, and that's where Mia comes in. She's the one that manages all that to help really promote our members when their events come around. So like Tucson Rodeo Parade and promoting their events during February and making sure that people know where to go, what to do, all that kind of thing so that, you know, they get the best turnout that they can for their event.
Now, of course, the festival and events, there's a number of types of festival and events. A lot of them bring music, but most of them bring some kind of cultural aspect of Tucson or Arizona or southwestern United States, whether it be food or entertainment, you can see it. And we'll talk a lot more about the festivals when our Chris Dodge, the executive director of Tucson Jazz Festival, will be joining us in the third segment. But let's talk a little bit. When you're in a running an attraction, and that's what I've done for, I don't know, 45, 50 years now, but one of the things that it seems like wherever I worked, you didn't have all the things that people love to do. So what you did was, after you figured that out, you had a festival. And generally, it involved music and food. And certainly with a food here, with the Tucson City of Gastronomy designation, you have something you can focus on, which is the food and with the ingredients that are been growing here for over 4,000 years. You see a lot of Mexican heritage festivals here. Mm-hmm. And of course they bring in a mariachi music and they bring in folkloric dancers and they bring in all of the wonderful food, Sonoran Mexican food. We certainly have a array of Mexican restaurants that are here in town. But you put all that together. Probably the largest festival, if you call that, or event, is the Pima County Fairgrounds, which is once a year for 10 days, okay? But almost every weekend, it seems that there is some kind of other festival. You talk about a variety of music. It's mostly been part of our culture here to feature the different types of music that you find in Tucson. And we're going to ask Chris Dodge that question, the kinds of music that are culturally significant. But let's get back to a special of the thing that took place. We have a couple of minutes. And when we did the recent event, over at Pima Air and Space, we wanted to do something that all of us, meaning both memberships, and what we found out when we got the reservation list of 35 or 40 people, somewhere around in there, that the overwhelming majority of them were members of both organizations. And, you know, that was kind of a goal when Dawn, not LaDawn, but Dawn, another Vandeveer.
Vandeveer, yeah.
Vandeveer. Got that. Yeah, I got that name right. I apologize. So, Shanabla, right? No. Still, see? Closer. Still not
even
there.
Even I got it wrong, Tom. So,
that's all right.
All right, that's okay. I mean, we'll have one more chance for me to stop turning red here. But when you're talking about a festival, it's either a freestanding festival. It's a 1 day. It's a 2 day. We're blessed here with free festivals, which is wonderful. A lot of them are downtown. As we mentioned, a lot of these specialties are within the attractions or our resorts. I think Westward Look just had, was it the world best margarita or something like that?
Presented by Sokka.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cross promotion that goes on between these festivals. The Downtown Alliance and the Visit Tucson's very much involved. Feats Arizona's involved. Are there some of the other organizations that you've partnered with over the years?
No, we are pretty much dedicated to Visit Tucson and to Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance because those are the ones that are most directly involved in how things operate.
And we're friends for sure.
Yeah.
back in with Chris Dodge in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Tom Moulton, and I'm associated with the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. We're a marketing organization, including festivals now. We have a special guest, the executive director of the Tucson Jazz Festival, Chris Dodge. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Tom, it's a pleasure to be here on the radio with you.
Now, I know you and I are going to do a really more in-depth interview back, maybe in November, December, when the Tucson Jazz Festival is full marketing out, and we know all the acts that are coming and their locations. But I really appreciate you joining us today as a board member of Feats AZ. And boy, are they so happy, and I know... it really is going to be benefiting the Feats AZ for as you as a board member because of the vast amount of knowledge that you have, not only as a musicologist, but as executive director of the Tucson Jazz Festival. We're going to talk in this segment about the world classification that still in place, as I understand it. And Chris, we're going to talk a little bit, maybe 30 seconds with LaDawn, because she wants to let the world know again what happened back in 2017. Yes, and then we're going to switch over, and Chris is going to help us. Why do you think this has happened? And of course, if you've gone to any of the wonderful festivals here, I think you already know the answer. LaDawn.
So we had discussed the diversity and the cultural significance of so many of the festivals that we have here. And back in 2017, the late Donovan Durbin had a real hand in getting the world a distinction for Tucson, the World Festival and Events City Award. So we still have that. And it's very important because it just signifies how much we do in terms of festival events and the quality and the content that we have available.
Yes, and if you put that with the other designation, the Tucson City of Gastronomy, the first creative city with that designation in the United States, followed, you know, maybe 4 years with San Antonio, and that's not a bad city to be associated with. So, Chris, two wonderful worlds. Certifications, Feats Arizona. Tell us, in your words, why do you think we're doing so well in festivals and events?
Tucson has become a really top destination market, not just regionally, but nationally. And people are starting to recognize the wonderful diversity that we have in our city, from our indigenous roots to our food culture, to the music festivals that we put on, and everything in between. It's I like to think of it as just this wonderful pie that is the arts and culture of Tucson, and we have so many contributing pieces of that pie that really make Tucson a really unique, wonderful place. And I'm happy to be part of this community, and I'm happy to celebrate this community and what we have to offer to other folks that are interested to come to visit and see us.
Yeah, and there's really two distinct audiences, and I think this festivals are successful because what you and other festival producers have put together is something the local community comes out. Not only, as you mentioned, maybe supported financially, but they come out and they actually enjoy the festivals. And that's important or maybe sometimes more important than bringing tourists to your festival or event. But of course, when you produce a festival, you want both to be there. And tell us a little bit about some of those kinds of festivals that you enjoy going to as well. And you look around and you see a lot of tourists as well.
You know, if we just focus on festivals, one of the biggest locally grown festival that attracts people of all species and shapes from around is Tucson Meet Yourself. And that is just a wonderful festival of food and dance and music. And I look at the Tucson Folk Festival and what they do and bringing in national acts and being able to have attract people from all over the country, as well as locals. Obviously, the Tucson Jazz Festival, I'm a big fan of that because we see that too. And another important part to that, Tom, is how I see all the festivals working together, finding different ways of systems that we work and what works and what's positive and how we can work together. And the FEATS organization in particular is it's like a professional development group in many ways that we don't get in our world, where all of us that have like-minded businesses and ideas, we can come together and share our experiences and learn from each other.
What I also see is I see government folks there at the meetings. I see private folks that are there. I see nonprofits that are there. And they all come together, and this sharing, you're absolutely right, Chris. I am amazed by the number of information. You know, I recall when I wasn't happy with the sound company I was using at a festival, so I asked Tim, and I think the gentleman from Fourth Avenue that was a member.
Oh, Renee Sotomayor.
Yeah, and about what? So tell me. I know I understand where you can buy tents and get the toilets and everything, but, you know, from small little systems to big systems, can you help me out? And sure enough, I think it was Fifth Avenue at the time he introduced me to. Did I get that right?
It's Fifth Avenue Productions.
And hope they're still a member.
They are, yes.
Good. And I think, you know what, the sharing is also goes beyond just the festival. So now I think you brought up a very good point, Chris. There is a distinctive difference between a festival and event. What comes to my mind, spring training, when we enjoyed that since 1946, that was an event. Okay, it was. Now we try to add festival activities to that, but it was an event. The fairgrounds, you know, it's an event, but it has festival types of things that go on. But this Tucson City of Gastronomy, you know, and at that time, I think I was still going to the Visit Tucson board meetings, and it was just amazing to hear about the press, the interest from all over the world about being a certified city of gastronomy. So I think that's somewhat, would you agree, Chris, that's changed the types of foods that we have at some of the festivals. And the word, in other words, the word that comes to me is heritage foods or authentic foods of Tucson's long culture of being, what is it, the oldest inhabited, you know, community. Chris, how has food changed the scope and of the festivals here in town?
Just the pure varieties, as you had mentioned, and the sustainability part of it, of like, you know, we recognize the land that we live on, and like, what are the foods that we can produce here, and how can we do that, and who are the chefs and who are the restaurants that are recognizing that and using those ingredients and uplifting that to a higher degree, and then how do we as festivals help celebrate that and work together with restaurants and chefs and City of Gastronomy to highlight something that's a distinction to our community. And so you'll see that all the time, and with multiple festivals, ours included, like let's highlight things that make Tucson special. And and then on another point, you were noting the difference between festivals and events, and both have value, and one thing that the festival does is it brings density to the type of thing that you're highlighting. Certainly, you know, I mentioned the folk festival. Folk music can be presented year-round, and jazz music can be presented year-round. But when you have density and you have a lot of things going on at once, it creates a vibrancy, and then that allows you to bring in other elements like our food, and our City of Gastronomy, our wonderful chefs that live here in town, and other parts of our culture that you can help highlight as part of festivals as opposed to individual events.
Now, locations. My first festival that I went to back in 1997, I think it was was Tucson Meet Yourself. And at that time, it was in multiple locations downtown. I didn't even, I had not probably visited downtown much, maybe El Charro, I think their original restaurant, when I got interviewed at Old Tucson. But I was just amazed, especially at night, which hides a lot of things, but how wonderful an event can be at downtown. And with your festival, Tucson Jazz Festival, what I think is totally unique, and as well as the Mariachi Festival, is how you feature not only the theaters, but some of the parks located in Tucson as well.
Oh, I think it's important to highlight our city as a whole, and certainly we are presenting things in theaters, but I'm always trying to find unique places and experiences and buildings and, you know, pop-up locations. Our experience and how we experience music and how that intertwines with the spaces that we have in Tucson and the people is really important to, I think, to me and to any festival is we have really cool, unique spaces and we have wonderful restaurants too. So we try to activate as many spaces and as many unique things as we can as part of what we do.
Beautiful.
I see that present in other festivals as well. It's not just uniquely to what we do.
I think you're spot on there of featuring all the different locations that, and some we create. I mean, some you wouldn't even think. So we'll be back for our final segment in just a few moments. This is Jump in Tucson, sponsored by Accurately Advertising and my favorite folks over at Visit Tucson. Welcome back. This is Jump in Tucson. LaDawn and I have been talking a little bit during the break about, okay, what else do we need to know about Feats AZ? And she would like to ask you, Chris, a question, so stand by for that. But LaDawn, we have just about 6 minutes left.
Okay. So actually, I'd like to direct my question first to Chris and then to Mia, because I think it's both perspectives are important.
Great.
So Chris and Mia, what have you gotten? What do you think is the most important thing that you've gotten out of your membership with festivals and events?
I think the question was posed to me first, and yes. To use a quote from one of my favorite musicals, Hamilton, you get to be in the room where it happens. And what I mean by that is when you're able to surround yourself around people and that do the different things that we do, and from vendors to presenters to all sorts of people of interest, and you get a chance to understand our community a little better and what we each do a little bit better. And then we also have opportunities that I see where we have learning opportunities, right? It's not just a social event, but someone that like knows something a little bit about marketing and social media, for instance, we'll have a session on that where we'll talk about how to hire musicians for events or whatever the case might be that might be of a large interest to a group. That's I find that's super helpful and important.
Awesome. Thank you. And Mia, what about you?
Yeah, I like the networking part of meeting other people and talking to them about their events and what went well and what maybe needed to be improved on, and taking like their knowledge and helping my event to be better because of the collective knowledge of this group is just out of this world. The people that are in this group are just so knowledgeable about festivals and events, and it's great to glean some of the knowledge from them. That's, I think, my favorite part.
Awesome. That's wonderful, Mia. Thank you.
Can I answer that question, too?
Sure. Tom, you're a member. Why not?
I think building the relationships with the folks that day in and day out are developing their festival or helping develop someone else's festival, I think that's what I get out of it is those folks and how caring they are and how sharing they are.
Yeah, we have a really great base of members. They are some of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met in my life. And I learn not only about their events, but I learn more about who they are as people and how what they do and their natural talents and gifts and how it fits in to what they're doing. And it's beautiful. It really is. It's absolutely beautiful.
And one of the things I noticed about your organization back years ago and then now is that you're not really limited to join because there's this huge dues. I mean, you are encouraging people to participate and to share, but it's not going to cost you hundreds of dollars.
That is true. We are one of the most reasonable organizations out there. So we have some tiers. We also have a nonprofit tier. So that helps our organizations that may not always have funding for things, different memberships. But we want them to be able to benefit with the networking and the education because it really is important. And, you know, when you think about the larger picture, now I'm going back to Bugs or Porky Pig, isn't it, right? When you think about the larger picture and incorporating these organizations and making sure that they are not only aware of festival events, but to become a part of it, it actually not only helps them as an organization produce an event, but it benefits the people who are attending because it helps them not only be more entertained, be more educated, but it's also helping them to be safer in a way because that's what we offer. We offer those educational components to help that event be the best it can be.
Yeah, I just want to mention that, you know, the global importance of some of our festivals, not only to, I say mainly to our culture. The Mariachi Festival, from my perspective, when I moved here in 1997, I have worked in San Antonio at a Six Flags Fiesta or Opryland Park at that time. We probably employed every mariachi from the Riverwalk at one time or another. And it was universally accepted. Every event that I produced, everything I, from groups to weddings to whatever, I had a mariachi troupe. And then I come here and I'm introduced to this world festival of mariachi music from artists from all over Mexico and United States and just anybody that was associated with that. And back to what Chris and I talked about, boy, it was involved downtown and it was at the TCC and it was just everywhere. So we're so blessed to live in Tucson in the southern Arizona and that we have visitors from all over the world that enjoy our festivals and events. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to thank our guests, Dawn, Mia, and Chris, and Kim, and Matt for joining us, learning a lot more about the Festival and Association of Tucson in southern Arizona. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow at 9 a.m. with his special guest. Well, I'll be back next Thursday with William Billy Russo of the Mini Time Machine of Miniatures and what he has done since he was at the Arizona Theater and he came over and started running the Mini Time Machine of Miniatures. And I have to tell you, we're talking about creativity today and creativity and the types of festivals and how we present our culture here. And I'm so happy that you joined us today. Again, thank you for the guests and thank you to Feats AZ and thank you to TJ, the president and of festival, our Feats AZ. And of course, we'll be back next Thursday and we'll thank you for joining us on Jump In Tucson. See you next time.